Wow, what a great sanctuary you have. Blessed place. Wow. Can you see me up back there? Wow, it's a big place. Thank you, Pastor Myers, for the opportunity to come this evening. As you mentioned, years ago, we're in Duarte, Berean Bible Baptist Church, Iglesia Bautista Biblica Berea, trying to do the work out there. And fairly conservative church. But as we began to grow, I realized that we needed to make some adjustments to our ministry and to our convictions, and we did call, and it was uphill from them. We thank you so much for being a blessing to our church. We've had several students from our church that have graduated from your school, your college, and they're a blessing. They're a blessing to our church. I want to congratulate the students today who are graduating. Where you are, I have been. The last time was in 1981 when I graduated from the seminary, Talbot Seminary of Duarte Biola College. I was saved at the age of 17 by watching Billy Graham on the television. And I was baptized by the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement, Chuck Smith, in the ocean, 1972. 1981, I graduated from Biola College, and so I know what it's like. It takes a lot of work to get through school, and I encourage you to continue doing that great work you're doing for God now. I think about the work it takes to graduate from a Bible college. A lot of work has gone into a lot of studies, and I'm sure you all of you want to do a great work for God. But there's something more important, I think, than the work that you've invested thus far, which is important, and even more important than the work you want to do for Christ, and that is the work that God wants to do in you. I have found that we can only be as effective as God wants us to be in our work for Jesus by God doing his work in us. I want to talk to you this night, just for a few minutes, about God continuing his work in you. Paul here, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I don't know what your custom is here, but if you could just stand for a few moments, I want to read one verse. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I want to talk to you about God's work in you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I'll just read one verse, and in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this. Let's read that together, can we? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about God's work in you. God wants to continue his work in you. You've done a lot of work thus far, studying, getting ready to do a work that God has you for. But God wants to continue his work in you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to address these students and this great congregation. Pray that your word would be paramount, you would be glorified, and I pray that these principles that we might learn tonight would register in our heart for eternity. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. From every Bible college in the United States, and we have a Bible college in Spanish, but in every Bible college, there are people who graduate who have wanted to do a great work for God. They invested a lot of work. They studied many years to graduate, had a desire to do something good for God, but they got off the potter's wheel. And in every Bible college in America, there are people who have graduated just like you who are not in church any longer. They're outside of the will of God. Many of them, some of them, have married outside of God's will and no longer serving God, no longer walking with God. And so that's why it is so important for God to continue his work. Now, God started a work in you when you got saved. Praise God. Amen. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, saved you. That's the work of salvation. In fact, when we look at the work of God in us, we see it really in three stages. And all three stages are in this verse right here. His work commenced, His work continued, and His work completed. And I'm assuming that in your lives and in the lives of many people here tonight, God has commenced or started His work in you. We see that in this verse right here. Paul talking to the Philippian believers says, being of this, confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Paul went to the city of Philippi and began to preach, and God opened the heart of one lady. Her name was Lydia. And that's how the church was started. And you look back in your life and you'll find that it was God who did it. It was a divine work. He started His work in you. He had His eyes set on you from all eternity. And then in time, God sent a messenger to you to preach the word of God. Maybe somebody invited you to church. Maybe a soul winner came to your door, or you were raised in a Christian home and you heard the word of God and the Holy Spirit brought conviction to your heart and you were saved and all of your sins were washed away and the blood of Christ cleansed you and He regenerated you and made you a new person, made you a child of God. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of God, but of God. So it was God that started His work in you. Praise God. If you're saved tonight, it was God that did the work. We're not saved by our own works, and we were saved by the grace of God. And it was God that initiated. Amen. And so it was a divine work, and it was also a costly work. Never forget what it took for you to be saved. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost the Lord Jesus Christ His blood on Calvary's tree. Amen. So it was a divine work. It was a costly work. Doesn't cost us anything to be saved. To be His disciples, it will cost us something. But when you were saved, it cost the Lord Jesus Christ His blood on the cross of Calvary. Don't ever get away from God. It was a costly work He did in you. I mean, I've been a Christian now for a half a century. I was saved at the age of 17. My wife says I'm 68, I'm 67. I forget. I'm so old now, I forget how old I am. But I've been a Christian now, pastor, for over 50 years. Half a century. God's been good. Somehow along the line, God is helping to be faithful to Him. But I have seen that over the years, it's really a small group of people who are faithful throughout the decades, really. People get saved and they walk with God for a while and they serve God and oftentimes zealous for souls and serving in their church, just like many of you. And then somehow they got off God's way and they're out there in the world. And we need to remember that God started His work. It was very costly work. It was also an internal work. He started the work in your heart. Keep your heart clean. I have found that in the ministry, even as pastors, we have to really keep a watch on our heart. We need to make sure that we don't get a bitter heart. We want to make sure that we keep a heart that's clean before God. And when our heart is right, we'll be able to serve Jesus with the right attitude. We'll never struggle with our convictions as independent Baptist Christians when your heart is right. And you'll never be hurt when you're not honored for your work for God. So God started that work. Praise God. He started that work in you. It was a divine work. It was a costly work. It was an eternal work. That's His work commenced. But God is not finished with any of us. And so we need to see that there's a work that is continued. And that's why in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work will perform it. So when we were saved from the penalty of sin, but right now He is saving us from the power of sin. That is the process of sanctification in our life. And He is making us, the Bible says He is conforming us, and He's conforming you to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Never forget that your work is not completed. You know a little bit more about the ministry now. You've had a little bit more experience, and you know a little bit more about the Bible, and you know a little bit more about Bible doctrine, and that's good. But God is not finished with you yet. I remember years ago, there used to be a bumper sticker on cars that said, be patient with me, God is not finished with me yet. I always felt that was like a justification, unless you cut off somebody in the freeway and they just would see that little bumper sticker and say, be patient with me, God is not finished with you. I thank God for your great work that you've done so far, and I'm sure your pastors are so proud of you. But what God wants to do in our life is it's not done yet. We have a lot of bad habits. We still struggle with our flesh, and we're not like Jesus yet. And so I'm going to encourage you, graduates, and all of us really, to let God complete his work in us, to continue his work in us. And he uses some tools that I think it would be good to remember. He uses the tool of a devotional life. You know, I have found that even as a pastor, and forgive me, we're so busy in the ministry that we really have to defend our devotional life. You would think that that would be the first thing, and it is. But never forget that you need to be daily in the Word of God and in prayer. You know, as Independent Baptist Christians, we're really good about the Bible. But I have found, at least in our own church, that we have to struggle to make time to call out to God and to pray and to walk with God and to seek his blessing and to ask forgiveness for sin and ask for guidance in our life. And so I want to encourage you graduates and all of us to make sure that we maintain a devotional life, and then always stay under the preaching of the Word of God. You know, we ought to read the Bible, and it's good to read the Bible, and sometimes we read the Bible and God is love. Oh, that's so sweet. God is love. And Jesus wept. Wow, that's so sweet. And Jesus wept. And that's a wonderful thing. But you know, God does his greatest changes in our lives, and God will do his greatest changes in your life under the preaching of the Word of God. You think about it. The biggest changes that God has ever made in your life, when you gave up smoking, when you gave up drinking, when you gave up fornication, when you decided to win souls, or when you decided to give your offering to God, your tithe unto God, it was under the preaching of the Word of God. We had to read the Bible, and that helps us in our communion with the Lord. That's so good. And we all need to be in a devotional time, reading the Word of God, but never get outside of the preaching of the Word of God as you serve the Lord. You know, there's some people in our church, I think I need to talk to them. They're always out serving. They're helping in children's church, and then they're in the nursery and over here and giving a class. But we got to make sure that we don't get outside of the preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Stay under the preaching of the Word of God. I don't know if all of you are members of this church or some other church, but if it ever gets to a point where you're out all the time and not hearing the pastor preach, you need to let him know, hey, I need to get into the preaching of the Word of God. And then God uses godly counsel. I had a young lady one time tell us, you know, I'm not like one of those other youth in the church, and I'm not always going to come to you and ask for counsel. That young lady married an unbeliever, and she actually spent time in this Bible college. You see, we need to make sure that we always ask for counsel. We've married three couples just recently, have another couple probably. They're going the same way, and I like the way they've done it. They've stayed under the counsel of their youth pastor and their pastor, and we always need to take counsel from others that know a little bit more than us. You know a little bit more about the Bible, but there are some people that have had more experience than you. And we ought to have a list of people to whom we can go to every now and then. Say, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about going this way. What is your counsel on the matter? God, these are some of the tools that God will use as he continues his work in you. A devotional life, preaching of the Word of God, counsel from more experienced brothers and sisters. And I wish I could spare this from your life, but the fact is that you're going to have trials in your life. And God will use those trials. The Bible says this, Job speaking, he says, but he knoweth the way I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I think you know the story of Job, what he suffered. And I have found that the longer I walk with God, the more trials I have. The more time I'm in the ministry, all of a sudden things pop up. I wasn't expecting them. And then I need to go back to God. And you'll find that God will use trials in your life. Sometimes they're trials just from living in a fallen world. And sometimes they're trials that are traps set by the enemy to destroy your ministry. And sometimes they're trials that God has designed because there's some areas in your life that he wants to deal with. And so God, let God use those tools to continue his work in you. So we've seen God's work commence. That's when you got saved. And then we see God's work continued. By the way, in that process, always remember that what God is doing is he's making you, he's conforming you to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that word, that verse. I believe it's in Ephesians. I could be wrong. I just preached on it. I should know. Let Christ dwell in you by faith. You know, all of us, if we're saved, Jesus lives in us. But he wants to dwell. He wants to be in control. He wants to govern our lives. And then finally, we saw the work commenced and the work continued and then the work completed. I see in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I like that promise there. Jesus will complete, God will complete that work in you. Now, he'll never lose us halfway. That's why we believe in eternal security. We believe that someone who has been born again will never be lost because God will continue that work and he'll finish that work in you. And one day he'll save us not only from the penalty of sin, which he has done. He's saving us from the power of sin right now. One day he'll save us from the presence of sin in our life. He'll complete his work in you. Now he'll complete that work in you the day you go home to be with Jesus. Amen. And one day he'll complete the work in your body at the rapture when we have a new body in the likeness of Christ. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So God is going to complete that work in you. I've had people say to me, well, then why do we have to struggle or strive so much if one day, after all, God is going to complete that work in me? Well, just briefly now, three reasons, and I'll end. We need to be more like Christ because we love him for saving us. We want to be as far along in the process as we can until Christ comes for us. I don't know about you, and I'm sure, well, I'm sure this is probably your desire. You want to be a more effective witness for Christ now. Yes, God is going to complete his work in you, but until then, we want to be a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to other believers in our own church, but to unbelievers that they might know Christ. And then, of course, we want to have a greater reward in heaven. The Bible says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. God started his work in us the day we got saved. That's his work commenced. He's continuing that work in us. He uses a devotional life. He uses preaching of the word of God. He uses trials in our life. He uses counsel. He's continuing. Let God continue his work in you. One day he'll complete that work. That's his work completed. Praise God, that'll take place one day when there are presence of Christ. I want to encourage you young people to let God continue his work in you. I mentioned that I've been a Christian now for 50 years. I've been pastoring. I've had the privilege. I'm celebrating 25 years of ministry in Duarte. When I first got to Duarte, I'd never heard of that city before. Somehow I ended up there. I started knocking on doors, and people got saved. The work grew. We outgrew our building, so we started sending out some teams of people to start other works. I'm grateful for what God has done. But throughout the years, I've seen good people just like you wearing hats just like that. Won wonderful rewards, graduated with the applause behind them, that are no longer walking with God. And it's very sad, very sad. So let God continue his work in you. pastor.